Live from the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, it's Mike Malloy.
All right. Rock and roll, right? Hey, welcome to this part of Thursday, the 12th of June, 2025. I would assume that you are prepared for the demonstrations across the country this Saturday. We're 2 days away. I'll have more on that in just a second. My sponsor tonight is a familiar name and supporter of this podcast, Jude Morford of the peace and justice organization Women Standing, which is centered in the Seattle area. Thank you, Jude. Jude's message quotes the theologian and Sufi mystic poet Rumi, R-U-M-I. Are you familiar with him? Interesting sermons, I guess you would put it, sermons or observations or ideas for human development that Rumi put together. It's worth checking out, Rumi, R-U-M-I. Anyway, this is Jude's message. Quote, in the blackest of your moments, wait with no fear. Rumi. And she adds, supporting you always, Mike, we of Women Standing. Well, there you have it. A Sufi mystic, woman who organized Women Standing and put together to sponsor tonight's program. Thank you very much, Jude. So appreciated. The protests over the toilet rats' use of the military, which is going to stop. It's going to continue. It's going to get more intense. There are going to be more uniform military cities across the country, you know, blue cities. And while this continues, I mentioned yesterday, these demonstrations are not, well, let me put it this way. The way the country is as connected to immigration as the Montgomery bus boycott was connected to where people sit on a bus. Toilet rat and the slime around him to completely disable American democracy and replace it with this fascist authority. I don't care if it's the latest casualty is, of course, the U.S. military, who are now involved in violation of the posse comitatus to come and arrest them. That is bullshit. That is verbal garbage. When you have the military uniformed, California National Trump regime, well, you call it detaining, like this Nazi-fied little bitch Pam Bondi and this hideous puffy do, right? The sitting governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, posted on social media over the border as defined by this fucking bum, Greg Abbott. There's so many of these slimy Nazis who are... Many of the demonstrations against this shit have been peaceful so far. They are not going to remain peaceful. You know this as well as I, since the age of Trump, these red-hatted fuckers. But we know, in addition to them, there are going to be people, there are going to be common U.S. citizens like me, like you, who are going to be pushed just too fucking far. And we're going to react. Soldiers who are sent to kill us or contain us. We know this is going to happen. It has happened before, not in this country, but in every country on earth where some insane fucker like Trump is, decides to take over and destroy either full-blown democracy or nascent democracy, these son of a bitches don't care. They don't want anything even remotely resembling a democratic form of government. So yeah, okay, there's going to be bloodshed. There are going to be people who are severely wounded. There are going to be people, American citizens, who are going to be jailed, who are going to be disappeared. There are going to be people who are going to be shot and beaten and gassed. You do understand this, I hope. We're right on the edge of this. And it all began, well, it began last Friday, but the next chapter begins this Saturday, the day after tomorrow. It has been building in this country towards this shit for what, 20, 30, 35 years? Maybe more than that? Ever since the American public, well, longer than that, ever since the American public figured out that the government of the United States, under a couple of our presidents, lied their fucking asses off to the extent that 58,000 Americans were slaughtered in Vietnam, 2 million Vietnamese, Cambodians, and Thai people were butchered, an entire country was salted with Agent Orange, and all of it was done to what? what was the reason? Quick now, what was the reason for what we did in Vietnam, huh? Come on. That's right. There was no fucking reason at all except U.S. aggression and U.S. imperialism. For some reason, after World War II, with the goddamn world in rubble, except for the United States, the next generation of U.S. leaders figured, hey, this is a good time to strike. And strike, they did. All over the globe, removing leaders that were not amenable to U.S. aggression, U.S. imperialism. Anyway, you don't need a history lesson, and neither do I. We have fucking lived this, haven't we? We've been watching this. We've been talking about it, for Christ's sake. We have watched the Christian insane fuckers worming their way into government with their form of fascism. And we've watched this neoliberal bullshit all over the planet, where people were told to trade off their sovereignty for fucking food or health care. And now that is being taken away. People in this country who are organizing these demonstrations, to the extent that they are organized, they're not really organized. This is a rising of the people in this country. I don't know what's going to happen on Saturday in terms of raw numbers. Maybe it'll be a hideous fucking disappointment to those of us who believe in democratic government. Maybe it will be a resounding success to this filthy fucking Donald Trump as he squats in D.C. while the troops parade in front of him and the jets fly overhead and the parachutists come down in front of him to present him with an American flag. Maybe it'll be a resounding success for that toilet rat son of a bitch. And if that's the case, if people don't turn out, well, what? Is that the end of democratic government? Will the fascist forces then be in full control? No. Then the resistance will continue. It'll take on more of a guerrilla warfare style. This is going to happen, y'all. It is. There are 350 million of us. And this fucking bum, this orange-faced ape in D.C. has decided he is going to control all of us. Are you willing to go along with that? I goddamn sure am not. And I'm of an age where my life really fucking doesn't matter that much where it concerns protesting against this shit and doing what is ever necessary to put the brakes on this fascist prick. People who are resisting what is happening are determined to provide even larger demonstrations in the coming days, which begins on Saturday. This No Kings events, plural, across the country on Saturday is going to coincide with the toilet rat's military parade honoring him. This has nothing to do with the U.S. Army. This has to do with him. And the toilet rat and his slimy fucking spokespeople especially the bitches and the bastards, the really, I mean, when you listen to Pam Bondi, when you listen to Kristi Noem, when you listen to these dead-eyed fuckers, when you watch Hegseth, who is animated because he's a goddamn junkie, when you listen to this hideous, Ketchup Patel, who supposedly runs the, FBI, when you watch this bulbous creature named Tom Homan, who is the head of ICE, when you listen to these dead-eyed fuckers, do you have any doubt at all what the game plan is for you, for me, for all of us? And who's going to stop it? This filthy, goddamn Christian-dominated Congress is not going to stop anything. This cowardly fucking Supreme Court is not going to stop anything. These federal judges appointed the last go-around with this horrible orange bastard, they're not going to stop anything either. So who's it up to? Who has the power to make this stop if we're willing to make the sacrifices? That's right. Us, we the people, in order to form a more peaceful union. The toilet rat says immigration raids and deportations are going to continue. It doesn't make any fucking difference what we the people decide to do. If we want to have our little demonstrations, go ahead. If you get out of line, we'll fucking shoot you, or we'll handcuff you, or we'll disappear you. But go ahead, play. Here's a look at some of the protests across the country in Seattle. Hundreds of protesters marched through downtown yesterday evening to a federal building where immigration cases are heard. And some of the more active members of this dragged a dumpster. I wonder if they got Steve Bannon out of it first. Steve Bannon, that crazy dumpster dweller. Anyway, they dragged this dumpster nearby and set it on fire in Seattle. The building was covered with graffiti. Abolish ICE Now was written in large letters across the front window. Some protesters moved electric bikes and cones, you know, traffic cones, to block the entrance. So dozens of officers, police, squared off with protesters near the federal building. Some were shooting pepper spray. Officers they were trying to, and I'm sure they succeeded, to move the crowd away from the federal building, with some protesters throwing fireworks and rocks at the officers, according to the Seattle Police Department. This is what happens. We start as peaceful protests, and when it becomes not only ignored, but when this fucking bum in D.C. orders a doubling down, a tripling down, a quadrupling down, bring in the National Guard, bring in the Marines, bring in every fucking body, stop these criminals, these American citizens. The ones who are committing criminal acts like demanding due process for people who are busted for being here without the proper identification, or whatever the fuck you want to call it. In New York City, police detained more than 80 people. There were protests in Lower Manhattan Tuesday evening and early yesterday. Lower Manhattan's Foley Square area, protesters shouted and waved signs that included ICE out of NYC. This rally was conducted near an ICE facility and federal courthouses. Police estimated some 2,500 people participated. Some of the protesters jumped over metal barricades and clashed with officers, who then wrestled these people to the ground and arrested them. Video shows protesters throwing, I don't know, rocks, gravel, pieces of concrete, throwing shit at the law enforcement vehicles and the cops. This is what it's coming to. I don't care where the population is. It doesn't matter what country it's in or where in the United States. When you continue to do this fascist bullshit, when you continue to fucking ignore, just totally ignore what the people want, what the people demand, there will be reaction. And I know what happens then. The reaction begets more reaction from the fascist enforcers in this country. And so it goes. This one on top of that one on top of that one until eventually, and I smell this coming, eventually, total fucking chaos. Total breakdown of law and order. I hope that doesn't happen. The police commissioner in New York said most of the demonstrators were peaceful and that just a few caused the disorder that required police intervention. New York City, by the way, is one of the areas targeted by this puffy lip bitch when she talks about they're sending ICE agents into New York City. They're going to start glomming people up off the street like they're doing now, only it's going to be in huge groups like what happened in Omaha, Nebraska yesterday. Commissioner Tisch, police commissioner in New York, said, quote, "We want to maintain everyone's right to protest peacefully in the city and in this country, but we will not tolerate chaos and disorder or violence," end quote. Well, Commissioner Tisch, I certainly respect your words, but maybe you should direct that to this fucking son of a bitch in the White House, the instigator of all. I know that's a stupid thing for me to say, but I'm sure, Commissioner Tisch, you understand where this violence is being promoted, where it's being encouraged by the slime in the White House who need little incidences, isolated incidences of violence so they can order out more troops and arrest more people. In New York City, police took about 85 people into custody, including 52 who were released with summonses for minor crimes. 34 were charged with assault, resisting arrest, and other crimes. You know what resisting arrest is, don't you? In these instances, of course you do. That's when these heavily armored bully boys come up to protesters. I'm talking about certain police officers. And just deliberately rough people up, twist them around, bend their hands, bend their arms, shit they don't have to do. I've been fucking arrested, and I've never had my hands bent behind my back where I felt like my fucking wrists were going to break off. There are ways to arrest people who are participating in civil disobedience. And what so many cops do has nothing fucking to do with the way to arrest people who are engaged in civil disobedience. But that's what resisting arrest is. When you try to twist away, when you try to get your arm back, when you try to not have your arm ripped out of your shoulder socket, when you're trying to resist, then you're charged with resisting arrest. San Antonio, Texas, 400 people gathered outside City Hall yesterday evening for an anti-ICE demonstration. That's according to authorities in San Antonio. Those protests were peaceful, with many blasting music, some handing out water. Nearby streets were closed off because law enforcement officers were there watching, which is what they should do. And then dozens of people walked there from the Alamo Mission, where police closed off the area before the protests began. The chief of police in San Antonio encouraged peaceful demonstration, but said his officers would respond, quote, "if it turns violent," end quote. Which seems to me to be the proper thing for the San Antonio police chief to say. Demonstrate. Exercise your First Amendment right. But no violence. You don't get violent, we won't get violent. Fair enough. Officers with the Texas Public Safety Department said the Texas National Guard showed up at the protest. Members were not seen standing with law enforcement. Yeah, the sitting governor, this fucking little bum, Greg Abbott, he knows better than to allow pictures to be taken of law enforcement and military personnel in the same frame. You know, that goddamn posse comitatus shit, which eventually will disappear as soon as Trump realizes that he can do it. The sitting governor declined to say how many soldiers would be sent, how many he's already sent, how many he would send, or how, only that they would be deployed in, quote, strategic locations where they can provide the most robust response if necessary, end quote. And he wouldn't answer when he was asked if he or the toilet rat had mobilized the Texas National Guard. Abbott said, the sitting governor, this little tease, he said, quote, there are others outside of this room who would like to know that, and I'm not going to tell them. We want to make sure that what happened in California does not happen in Texas. Really? What happened in California, you asshole? Why don't you get your convicted criminal fucking attorney general, your indicted attorney general, to make a statement? Jesus. The mayor of San Antonio, Ron Nirenberg, said he didn't ask the governor to deploy National Guard troops, and officials said they don't know how many troops are being sent, where they would be stationed, or what they would do. And the mayor of San Antonio added this, I want to acknowledge the anger and frustration that's out there with the federal government's crude interpretations of immigration law and cruel approach to human rights. Exercise your right to free speech, but I urge you to keep it lawful and peaceful, end quote. How much longer can the situation be kept peaceful? I would hope it would remain lawful. I mean, our side, yes, our side has got to remain lawful, because that's one of the things about a fascist regime, as especially as it is flexing its muscles and taking control. It will bring the fucking force of every fascist thing they can come up with down on people who are still exercising their constitutional rights, especially if that person, oh, I don't know, jaywalks or, you know, resists arrest. Be back momentarily. I'm Mike Malloy. All right, I'm back. Again, my sponsor this evening is Jude Morford of the organization Women Standing, and her message, as I mentioned first time I shared this with you, she quotes a Sufi mystic and poet, theologian named Rumi, R-U-M-I. Here is her message. Starts with a quote from Rumi. The quote is, in the blackest of your moments, wait with no fear. Supporting you always, Mike, we of Women Standing. Thank you, Jude. If you would like to keep this little podcast going, and I sincerely hope that you feel that way, please go to MikeMalloy.com. And there are a number of ways there where you can contribute the necessary funds to keep us going. I've said before, it doesn't take a lot, but it does take something. So please do that, MikeMalloy.com, and keep us alive, especially now. Good Lord. And while you're there, please check out my one business sponsor, my sponsor, not from iTunes or the people that carry this podcast on various networks, but my sponsor, which is River Moon Coffee, River Moon Wellness, as they are now known, because they've expanded from just the providing the best coffee in America. So check them out, please. There's a link at my website to their website. And once you get to River Moon Wellness, you'll find all sorts of products that are there for your enjoyment, your awareness, your awakening, any way you want to put it. All right. And as usual, here it is. If I still was doing, we're doing video, you would see I've got this Gold Award Girl Scout cup that Molly made it to Gold Award Girl Scout, bless her heart, but this coffee cup. And inside is River Moon Coffee. All right, back to what I was talking about, the some of the cities where the demonstrations that are going to hit a peak day after tomorrow have already begun. From San Antonio to Philadelphia, about 150 protesters, according to what I have here, gathered outside the Federal Detention Center on Tuesday afternoon and marched to ICE headquarters, then back to the detention center. And I'm sure the toilet rat and his little Nazi bitches and bastards, when they hear that, oh, they marched to the to ICE headquarters and then turned around and marched back. Oh, how goddamn hippy-dippy is that? Oh, let's arrest them all. Fuck them. I'm sure it makes for great comedy for these freaks. Police ordered a group in Philly marching along a major road to disperse. And when they ignored the orders, the cops move in and nailed 15 of them. Several officers used force during the arrests. And police department in Philly said their conduct will be reviewed. Oh, fuck that. Come on. Reviewed? Wasn't there just a case where a bunch of black officers were found not guilty of murdering a black man who was stopped for some traffic violation and they fucking beat him to death? Look, and I mentioned the race just so you don't get confused that it was another example of white cops killing a black man. These were black cops killing a black man. But there are certain police officers, I don't give a shit about their race. When they put that uniform on, all of a sudden, they have the power of life and death. And they fucking will use it. So there'll be a review of the cops who are beating the shit out of people who are just exercising their First Amendment rights. Oh, and two cops suffered minor injuries, too. Well, I would imagine. So the people who resisted and punched one of the cops in his own self-defense will probably now be charged with assaulting an officer, which is a fairly serious charge, right? San Francisco, about 200 protesters gathered outside the immigration court in that city on Tuesday after local activists got the word out that several people were arrested there. Protests in San Francisco swelled to several thousand on Sunday and Monday, and more than 150 people were arrested after some vandalized buildings and damaged cars, police vehicles, and buses. Police said two officers suffered non-life-threatening injuries. Now, there you have some confrontations that are resulting in, well, obvious injury, confrontation, but there are no National Guard or Marine Corps being deployed to San Francisco. But see, Trump fucking hates Los Angeles. Trump hates the whole state of California because the state of California voted for Joe Biden by a margin of, what, 40 points or whatever? Chicago. Police said 17 people were arrested at a protest that jammed a downtown plaza Tuesday evening. Some of those arrested were accused of vandalism. Four were charged with felonies, including aggravated battery against an officer, against a police officer. Aggravated battery. Also, on Tuesday in Chicago, a 66-year-old woman was treated for a fractured arm after being struck by a car. If you probably saw that video, vehicle speeding along a street filled with protesters. Luckily, if that's the right word to use, no other injuries were reported, and no word about the obvious Trump supporter who drove his or her vehicle through a crowd of people peacefully demonstrating. Denver, a group of protesters gathered before the state capitol in Colorado. And in that process, they created what the Associated Press calls a sea of cardboard signs. And one of the signs said, quote, "Show your faces, ice cowards." The reference there being the masks that the toilet rat has said, "Anybody wearing a mask going to be arrested." You fucking Nazi, you. The protesters in Denver then split in half, with hundreds chanting and marching down two thoroughfares and forcing traffic to the sides of the streets. Police told them to disperse. Then the cops opened up with smoke grenades and pepper balls to control the crowd. 17 people arrested, according to Denver police yesterday. In Spokane, Mayor Lisa Brown there imposed a curfew in downtown Spokane after a protest yesterday afternoon outside an ICE office. Did you know how many ICE offices were scattered around the country? No, neither did I. The chief of police in Spokane, Kevin Hall, said more than 30 protesters were arrested and officers deployed pepper balls on the crowd. That's according to a local TV station there. The police, or the mayor, Lisa Brown, said in a news conference yesterday that the curfew is meant to, quote, protect public safety. She added that the vast majority of the protesters were peaceful. The mayor said, quote, "We respect the right to peacefully protest and to be upset about federal policies. I have been that person who has protested federal policies, and that is a right we have," end quote. Bless your heart, Mayor Lisa Brown. The curfew that's in effect there will run from, it's over now. It ran from 9:30 p.m. until 5 a.m. this morning, according to a statement from Spokane City. So just a couple of very brief flashes of what is already happening. And it's my opinion that what is happening in various cities around the country, these demonstrations, and there was a huge one here in Atlanta yesterday where people were shot at by Atlanta cops, and Atlanta cops are not known for their attitude. Black and white cops are not known for a peaceful attitude toward demonstrators, toward protesters. That's always really freaked me out about black police officers in this city. It wasn't that long ago when black cops were first allowed on the Atlanta Police Department, and they weren't allowed to arrest or stop white people who were violating the law. Yeah, that was shortly before I got here. Well, okay, maybe 20 or 30 years before I moved here permanently, but Atlanta, the birthplace, you might say, of the civil rights movement, and yet we have black and white cops now who will absolutely unload on protesters if they feel like unloading on protesters. I haven't heard a comment from the black mayor of Atlanta or the predominantly black city council in Atlanta. That could be just because I haven't been paying attention. Meanwhile, in the nation's capital, the toilet rat is preparing for his glorious militarized birthday celebration, hallelujah, as if it were in commemoration of the 250th anniversary of the United States Army. Give me a fucking break. Trump doesn't care. Yeah, he's called them losers, bums, idiots. He wouldn't even go to an American military cemetery in France. Trump cares about as much about the U.S. military as he cares about his wives and children. He doesn't give a fuck. But he has thoroughly co-opted this 250th anniversary, and now it's going to be a celebration of Donald Jesus Christ Trump. Yes, indeed it is. 18 miles of fencing has been installed along the parade route, according to the Associated Press, and 175 magnetometers to check people when they enter certain areas to see if they're carrying weapons. These are the same devices, of course, that this filthy fucker Donald Trump said get rid of the magnetometers on January 6, 2021, when a mob of Trump supporters stormed the center of U.S. government and tried to end it. Jesus Christ. Anyway, Saturday's military parade, which ostensibly is about the 250th birthday of the Army, is not about the 250th birthday of the Army, at least not in the brain of this orange-faced ape. It's his 79th birthday party. Matt McCool, the Secret Service's Washington Field Office, I don't know if he's the supervisor there or what, but Mr. Matt said, quote, "We're preparing for an enormous turnout. 18 miles of anti-scale fencing would be erected, and multiple drones will be in the air. The entire District of Columbia is normally a no-fly zone for drones, but not on the toilet rat's big-ass birthday party." No, because, you know, got to have the drones up there with cameras in case somebody might want to feel a little froggy and decide to jump. You know what I'm saying? Of course you do. Army officials are trying to estimate what they're going to have to deal with. They're estimating about 200,000 people will attend for this military parade. And Matt McCool of the Secret Service said he was prepared for, quote, hundreds of thousands of people, end quote. He added this, quote, "We have tons of magnetometers. If a million people show up, we're going to have some lines," end quote. Lines of people wanting to get closer to the action, to get closer to his Lord and Christ Master, King Trump. Now, according to the AP, again, a total of 175 magnetometers are going to be used as security checkpoints controlling access to the daytime birthday festival and the nighttime parade. Oh, how much fun is this going to be? A spokesperson, well, actually the chief of police for the Metropolitan Police Department, one Pamela Smith, predicted, quote, "major impacts to traffic." No shit. And she advised people who are attending to arrive early and consider leaving their cars and taking the metro, you know, the public transit system. Mayor Smith said, the police chief, Pamela Smith, said, quote, "This is a significant event with a large footprint. We're relying on the public to be an extra set of ears and eyes for us," end quote, whatever that means. Now, this parade to honor this filthy fucking Nazi who is taking over the government of the United States, the parade has been designated a national special security event. That's a similar designation to a presidential inauguration or state funeral. Fill in your own punchline there if you want to. Now, that status, national special security event, is reserved for events that draw large crowds and potential mass protests. It calls for an enhanced degree of high-level coordination with D.C. officials, the FBI, Capitol Police, Washington's National Guard contingent, Secret Service. all in honor in the orange face monkey's little twisted fucking simian brain, all in honor of him. Because you know he won the last election by a massive landslide, the biggest in the history of presidential elections. Now, I've mentioned this before, the Army's 250th birthday celebration had been planned for months, but when the toilet rat announced earlier this spring his intention to transform the event into his birthday party with a massive military parade complete with 60-ton M1 Abrams battle tanks and self-propelled howitzers and missile launchers rolling through the city. Hell yeah, hell yeah. Then this 250-year commemoration took on a whole different flavor, didn't it? Now, there are multiple, and I wasn't aware of this, but according to the Associated Press, multiple counter-protests of varying sizes are planned for Saturday, the same day, with the largest being a mass march to the White House. Uh-oh! Uh-oh! Well, I knew that there were all sorts of demonstrations planned, one of which here in Atlanta, I will be right in the fucking middle of. I knew they were planned all around the country, but a mass march to the White House? Oh, that sounds like provocation, doesn't it? Officials say they are also on alert for signs that the immigration-related clashes between law enforcement and protesters that is happening all over the country right now are going to spread. Well, no shit. I mean, you know, what do these fuckers not realize, truth seeker? We are, how many times have we been told this? We are a nation of immigrants. This is who we are. After we decimated the indigenous population here. But ever since we decided to commit fucking genocide against the people who originally lived here, and after we decided to destroy how many African nations by bringing enslaved people here, after all of that, then all of a sudden, well, we're a nation of immigrants. Even the immigrants used to beat the fuck out of each other, kill each other. The Irish. If you want to see a good example, see the movie Gangs of New York. If you want an eye-opener about Irish, and I am Irish, Irish people who were born here, and around the 1860s, when Irish immigrants were coming to go to work in the mines and the fields and the factories, and the Irish born here looked at the Irish immigrants as slime and slop and crud and immigrants and tried to kill them all, and of course the immigrants tried to kill back. And a lot of the Irish immigrants were shanghaied into the Union Army to go die in some godforsaken shithole here in the South. All kinds of crazy stuff in American history, isn't there? But we're a nation of immigrants after we, you know, genocided the people who were here originally. And told the Mexican government to get the fuck out of what we then converted into five states in the Southwest and the West Coast. We're a nation of immigrants. And yet this toilet rat and his red hat wearing asshole seem to think that, oh, well, we're going to make America great again. It's supposed to be all white people. Well. Secret Service person Matt McCool said, quote, "We're paying attention, obviously, to what is happening in California. We'll be ready. We have a robust plan for civil disobedience," end quote. Well, Mr. McCool, I'm sure the organizers of No Kings has a robust plan for defense of the U.S. Constitution. You think? Now, there's an agent named Philip Bates. He's in the FBI's Washington field office, which is given the task of counterterrorism and crisis management, this Sunday when the toilet rat has his big party. Agent Philip Bates said, quote, there are no credible threats to the event at the moment, end quote. And then Lindsay Appiah, the deputy mayor for public safety in D.C., told the Associated Press that the city had longstanding plans for the Army's birthday celebration. But he added those plans, quote, got a lot bigger on short notice when the toilet rat got involved. But Mr. Appiah or Lindsay Appiah, man, woman, I don't know. Appiah said that the city had grown, quote, very flexible, very nimble at rolling with these sorts of changes, end quote. Well, are you concerned about what's going to happen on Saturday, day after tomorrow? I'm not. I know when I go there to the several places here in Metro Atlanta, well, in the city of Atlanta, actually, as well as Metro Atlanta, where crowds have been told to go, anyone who wants to demonstrate for the Constitution of the United States and against this fascist fuckwad who is destroying the country piece by piece. So I will, you know, I will go there. I will go to one of the designated locations. And in my backpack, though, I will have with me a couple of bottles of water and a jar of Vaseline because I know what's going to happen. I absolutely know, based on my own experience, what's going to happen. Now, the last big demonstration, just a few weeks ago here in Atlanta, the hands-off demonstration where 30,000, 40,000 people marched down one of the main arteries from Piedmont Park, which is similar to Central Park in New York, designed by the same person, by the way, marched from Piedmont Park to the state capitol, which was a distance of about 5 miles, 6 miles. No, I'm sorry, about half that, about 3.5 miles. And there was no violence. There was no nothing. There were a few cops along the way, and their duty was to direct traffic away from the marchers and to tell the marchers, keep to the right while you're marching down the middle of the street. But this is going to be different tomorrow, a Saturday, I'm sorry. It's going to be different because now we have absolute irrefutable proof of what the toilet rat and the bitches and bastards that are doing his dirty work, what they have in mind for the American public. There's no doubt any longer. It is right there in front of us. Every single thing this filthy son of a bitch has done, everything his bitches and bastards have done, is counter to the U.S. Constitution, demeaning to those of us who live in this country. I don't give a fuck if we have the right papers or not. To every person who lives in this country, this attitude of, well, we're going to do this to you and there's not a fucking thing you can do in return. That attitude is what is promoting people to take part in this demonstration tomorrow of Saturday across the country. I hope if you're able to, that you'll do the same. If you're able to. And if you're not physically able, I assume you will participate in spirit anyway, right? Of course. I'll be back momentarily. I'm Mike Malloy.
We're told that after the war the Nazis vanished without a trace. But battalions of fascists still dream of a master race.
The history books, they tell of their defeat in 45.
But they all came out of the woodwork
on the day the Nazi died. They say the prisoner of Spandau was a symbol of defeat. Whilst Hess remained in prison, then the fascists, they were beat. So the promise of an Aryan world would never materialise.
So why did they all come out of the woodwork
on the day the Nazi died? The world is riddled with maggots. The maggots are getting fat. They're making a tasty meal of all the bosses and bureaucrats. They're taking over the boardrooms and they're fat and full of pride. And they all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died. So if you meet with these historians, I'll tell you what to say. Tell them that the Nazis never really went away. They're out there burning houses down and peddling racist lies. And we'll never rest again until every Nazi dies.
All right, welcome back to part three of this evening's podcast. I want to share with you the level of criminality that the Trump swine operate in, especially for some reason, this crazy mega bitch, Pam Bondi, who runs the so-called Justice Department now. It's just incredible. She has rejected the idea that the toilet rat's pardons of hundreds, 1,600 rioters who assaulted police and tried to destroy this country on January 6, 2021, at the U.S. Capitol. She rejects the idea that that creates a double standard with the toilet rat's aggressive response to violence at immigration protests in L.A. To the Bondi bitch, oh, no, 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 no. This is what she said yesterday in an on-camera so-called gaggle with reporters at the White House. You can see the video if you look for it. She said, well, this is very different. These are people out there hurting people in California right now. This is ongoing. I mean, this is a perfect display of how willingly these fucking people, especially a bitch like Bondi, is willing to declare herself insane in order to do it for her Lord and Master Donald Christ, God, Jesus, Trump. Yeah, there are people out there hurting people in California right now. Ass bitch, the people hurting people are uniformed cops. What the fuck is wrong with her? Well, she's crazy and proud of it. Because as crazy as she can act, it gathers favor from the toilet rat. And then she says, this is ongoing. This is different. Oh, I see. The events of January 1st were only one day. The murder and the destruction and the total corruption of the U.S. Constitution, the disrespect shown to the institutions of government in this country, to Pam Bondi. Oh, well, that was different, you know. Now, if you remember on Tuesday night, the governor of California, Newsom, Gavin Newsom, slammed the toilet rat for his actions in California. And Newsom said, quote, Trump, he's not opposed to lawlessness and violence as long as it serves him. What more evidence do we need than January 6th, end quote. Right. Now, to the Bondi bitch, I guess January 6th was something that only existed in her little masturbatory fantasies when she thinks about her Lord and Savior, Christ, God, Jesus, Donald Trump. Now, the toilet rat's attempts, and they're relatively successful so far to stoke outrage. over videos, outrage among his red hat wearing assholes. The outrage over videos showing attacks on law enforcement in Los Angeles. I mean, what kind of bullshit is that? That's been mocked on social media, obviously, with Democrats and other critics posting comparisons to the assaults that law enforcement were subject to on January 6th when this pro-toilet rat mob tried to overthrow the U.S. government. And where was Trump when that happened? This bloated piece of fucking human waste. He was sitting in the private cafeteria in the White House, stuffing his face with cheeseburgers, watching on three different televisions, according to reports from people who were there. 140 officers suffered injuries during that riot because they were being beaten by Trump supporters, fucking pigs. They were beaten with baseball bats and hockey sticks and flagpoles carrying the Christian filthy flag, and even a flag carrying the American flag. So what did Trump do when he, his first day in office, this rotten bastard, he pardoned nearly all of the 1,600 people charged in connection with that assault on the Capitol. And that included 450 of these bum fucks who worship Trump, who are charged with assaulting or impeding cops. 300 of whom who are still waiting to have their cases fully adjudicated. So they don't have to go through it now. They've been pardoned. The toilet rat declared them heroes. American heroes, hostages, captives, but heroes. And then, once the toilet rat took over and put the Bondi bitch in charge of everything, the Department of Justice's investigation of what occurred on January 6th, the continuing investigation, was immediately stopped. And what was being investigated was roughly 60 people who were suspects of assaulting police during that raid, that riot, that attack on the Capitol, who had yet to be charged. That's according to statistics released by the U.S. Attorney's Office in Washington prior to the toilet rat and the Bondi bitch taking over. And if you remember, during the Bondi bitch's confirmation hearing prior to Inauguration Day, she said that she believed any pardons for January 6th defendants should be evaluated, quote, on a case-to-case basis. And she suggested that she, as the Attorney General, would be opposed to pardons for people accused of assaulting law enforcement officers. You lying fucking bitch, you. You perjuring liar, just like all of you people. She added this at the time. The Bondi bitch said this. This is a direct quote. Let me be very clear in speaking to you. I condemn any violence on a law enforcement officer in this country. End quote. You perjuring liar. Now, the Bondi bitch has not publicly commented on Trump's pardons since she shot off her mouth in her hearing and committed perjury. Even though the other monster who works in conjunction with the Bondi bitch, I'm talking about Ketchup Patel, this grim, gruesome-looking fucker, he didn't distance himself from the confirmation hearing, at the confirmation hearing, from Trump's pardons for these violent January 6th offenders. Ketchup said at the time, quote, I have always rejected any violence against law enforcement, and I do not agree with the commutation of any sentence of any individual who committed violence against law enforcement, end quote. Really, Ketchup? I mean, Kachup Patel is the most useless fucker. He's like the drunk who runs the Department of Defense. No experience in any of this shit. I don't know what either of these two bums, or Bondi for that matter, what the fuck are they doing in positions of such power where it concerns U.S. government? Well, they're there because they will fillet Donald Trump as soon as he says, I'm about to unzip my pants. That's why they're there. Has nothing to do with experience or expertise in the area of government that they are now in charge of. Nothing. And when the Bondi bitch had her little gaggle with reporters yesterday, she repeatedly refused to answer questions about the Trump administration's views on the legal standards that have to exist in order to invoke the Insurrection Act. Because she knows what's coming. She knows that the son of a bitch is going to do it, probably on Saturday. And if not on Saturday, as soon as it is something that pleases him, he'll do it. But instead of answering questions about, you know, what about this, what about this, she pointed to what she argued appears to be improved conditions on the ground that shouldn't warrant any aggressive intervention by the administration. She said this, quote, right now in California, we're at a good point. We're not scared to go further. We're not frightened to do something else if we need to, end quote. Well, Bondi bitch, I'll guarantee you that there are probably 300 million Americans out here who are not scared to go further either. Some of whom you will have a chance to observe from your exalted position as the Attorney General come this Saturday. Moving right along, the guy with the brain that's been eaten by worms, RFK Jr., yesterday, he named 8 new vaccine policy advisors to replace the 17-member Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices that resigned this week. Well, they didn't really resign. He dismissed them. That's right. There are other people who are resigning who have been in public health most of their professional lives. But the Advisory Panel on Immunization Practices, Kennedy released all 17 of them, told them to go the fuck away. And the main reason, of course, is because they're involved in science and they're involved in public health. Kennedy is a fucking brain-eating, worm-eating brain halfwit who is doing exactly what the toilet rat wants him to do, make the population of this country sick. A sick population is a population that won't resist. So the new group. All right. Well, included in the 8 that RFK Jr. hired yesterday, a scientist who researched mRNA vaccine technology. That's what gave us the COVID-19 vaccine. It's kind of a hitchhiking vaccination that uses RNA to immunize the people. It's rather complex, and I'm sure you understand it more than I have time to get into it here, but the mRNA vaccine technology, the scientist who researched that became a conservative darling because of his criticism of the COVID-19 vaccines. He's also there's also a leading critic of pandemic-era lockdowns and a professor of operations management. And the toilet rat's, worm brain's decision to retire the previous 17-member advisory committee was greeted by doctors, groups, and public health organizations as insane. And the fear, which worm brain has now confirmed, the fear was that advisors who RFK would replace or the advisors who would take the place of these experts would be with a group aligned with his desire to end longstanding vaccination recommendations. Kennedy wants people dead. He wants children dead of measles. The toilet rat wants people dead of COVID-19. The toilet rat wants people dead of bird flu. I mean, this is what they're working towards. So anyway, on Tuesday, RFK announced his picks to replace the board of experts. He said, Kennedy said, quote, "We're going to bring great people onto the ACIP panel." That's the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. The acronym is ACIP. "We're going to bring great people onto the ACIP panel, not anti-vaxxers," which is exactly what he did. "Bring people on who are credentialed scientists," end quote. Well, let's see. Some of the new appointees, among them include, well, here's one, Vicki Pebsworth. She's a regional director for the National Association of Catholic Nurses. I didn't realize there was a religious difference in nursing. Oh, wait, of course I did. A Catholic nurse will not assist in an abortion necessary when a woman is dying. That's right. Okay. Anyway, Vicki has been listed as a board member and volunteer director for the National Vaccine Information Center. That's a group that is considered to be a leading source of vaccine lies. That's why they call it the National Vaccine Information Center. That's where you go if you want to hear lies and bullshit about the efficacy of vaccines and immunizations, right? So there's Vicki. All right, Vicki, you're on. Then there's Dr. Robert Malone, the former mRNA researcher who emerged as a close advisor to Wormbrain during the measles outbreak. That is still ongoing, by the way. We just don't hear anything about it anymore. Dr. Malone, who runs a wellness institute and a popular blog, got a lot of his prominence during the COVID-19 pandemic as he relayed conspiracy theories about the outbreak of the vaccines. Oh, and the vaccines. You know, he was just chock-a-block. It's hard to keep track of these fuckers. He had all kinds of conspiracy theories about what caused the outbreak and then about these dirty, rotten, filthy vaccines that had been developed to immunize people against the vaccine. In the meantime, since the toilet rat was in charge then, 1,200,000 people died. Anyway, Dr. Malone has appeared on podcasts and other right-wing outlets where he's promoted bullshit alternative treatments for measles and COVID-19. Among those, I'm sure, is, well, take lots of vitamin A. Jesus Christ. And this Dr. Malone has claimed, according to the AP, he's claimed that millions of Americans were hypnotized into taking the COVID-19 shots. Hypnotized. Who knew? And he says that those vaccines cause a form of AIDS. Oh, my fucking God. Where do these beasts, what ring of hell do these people come floating up out of? That the COVID-19 vaccine causes AIDS? You psycho fucker, you. Oh, and he has tried to downplay the deaths related to one of the largest measles outbreak in the United States in years. And Dr. Malone told the Associated Press, once it was announced that he's going to be on the vaccination panel, that he will do his best, quote, to serve with unbiased objectivity and rigor, end quote. Yeah, of course you will. Now, who else we got here? Oh, yeah, here's another one. This one's Dr. Martin Kulldorff. He's a biostatistician and epidemiologist who was a co-author of something I mentioned to you, I think, yesterday, the Great Barrington Declaration of October 2020. That was a letter that maintains the pandemic shutdowns were causing irreparable harm, not all of which I disagree with, as a matter of fact. And Dr. Cody Meisner, a former member of ACIP, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, he was also named, Who else do we have here? Abram Wagner of the University of Michigan School of Public Health, who investigates vaccination programs. He said he's not satisfied with the composition of the committee. He said this, quote, the previous ACIP was made up of technical experts who have spent their lives studying vaccines. Most people on the current list don't have the technical capacity that we would expect out of people who would have to make really complicated decisions involving interpreting complicated scientific data. Okay, well, Abram Wagner, you're not going to be on the committee very long. You just shot yourself in the fucking foot there, pal, with making a statement that is based on science, reason, logic, and reality. Goodbye. He also added that having this, what's his name? Which one was it? Pebsworth. Vicky. Oh, that's right. The regional director of the National Association of Catholic Nurses. He said that having Ms. Pebsworth on the board is, quote, incredibly problematic since she's involved in an organization that distributes a lot of misinformation, end quote. Well, I will try to watch and observe, but I doubt that Dr. Robert Malone is going to be, Abram Wagner, the University of Michigan, if he's going to be on this committee much longer. I'm sure that RFK Jr., old worm brain, will get rid of him quickly. Now, this committee, ACIP, the committee, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, that committee was created in 1964, for Christ's sake, and it makes recommendations to the director, the CDC, and CDC directors almost always approve those recommendations on how vaccines that have been approved by the FDA should be used. It's an interwoven, very complicated and yet very effective system that works. FDA, CDC, research, scientists, medical professionals trying to put together programs that are designed for one reason only: to save people's lives. And now worm brain is going to and is in the process of destroying that entire network. I have read comments from people in the medical profession now who said, look, if this shit continues, it's going to take years, if not decades, to rebuild what has been built since 1964. Well, no shit. What is that, 61 years ago? And worm brain and Vicky and some of these people are going to destroy everything that has been done up to this point. Other appointees, here's one, Dr. James Hibbeln, who formerly headed National Institute of Health Group focused on nutritional neuroscience and who studies how nutrition affects the brain, including the potential benefits of seafood consumption during pregnancy. Stop. Wait a minute. I don't know shit about anything except what I read in the newspapers, but I have read or heard that pregnant women should stay the fuck away from seafood because of the high content now of lead, the high content of chemicals that will cause the fetus to be deformed or die in utero, mercury poisoning. And once the fetus dies in utero, the woman is going to have to carry the corpse until the corpse is delivered. Because if she tries to get rid of the corpse inside her body, she will be charged with some fucking crime put together by the Christian terrorists. I don't think that, I may be wrong, I don't think that pregnant women should be eating seafood, given the high levels of mercury and lead that is in every fucking thing that we eat. Well, not everything, but in certainly seafood. That's been made public. We should all know about that. But this guy recommends seafood consumption during pregnancy. Okay. And then we have a couple more here. I think I will share them with you when I come back after this next break, because some of these people that Wormbrain has put on this ACIP, the advisory panel for immunization practices, some of them are just flat out fucking crazy people. But I never knew there was a National Association of Catholic Nurses. Is there a National Association of Jewish Nurses or Muslim Nurses? I don't know. I don't think so. But as usual, what do I know? Catholic nurses, huh? All right, I'll be back momentarily. I hope you'll still be here. I'm Mike Malloy. All right, welcome back to part four of today's podcast. I'm sharing with you some of the names of the people that Wormbrain has appointed to ACIP, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. It's a key committee that works with science, works with the pharmaceutical companies, works with the Food and Drug Administration, to determine what you and I are going to inject into our bodies in order to prevent certain terrible diseases from killing us. So RFK Jr. did not like the composition of the 17 members, so he ordered them to retire. He resigned them, and now he has appointed, so far I think he's appointed 8 to of new policy advisors to replace the panel that he dismissed, I think, on Monday of this week. Anyway, I've named some of them. Here's a couple more. Here's a guy named Retsef Levy, professor of operations management at MIT. He studies business issues related to supply chain, logistics, pricing, and healthcare management. Oh, good. In a 2023 video pinned to an X profile under his name, Levy called for the end of the COVID-19 vaccination programs. He said the vaccines were ineffective and dangerous, despite evidence, scientific evidence, that they saved millions of lives. You see what I'm talking about? These crazy fuckers? Levy told the AP he would try to help inform, quote, public health policies with data and science, with the goal of improving the health and well-being of people and regain the public trust, end quote. Well, I don't feel a loss of public trust until the toilet rat and his pimps and bitches and bastards took over the government. Huh? Here's another one. James Pagano, an emergency medicine physician, from L.A., doesn't say anything about Dr. Pagano. Then we have Dr. Michael Ross, a Virginia-based obstetrician and gynecologist who previously served on a CDC Breast and Cervical Cancer Advisory Committee. He is described as a, quote, serial CEO and physician leader. That's in a bio for Havencrest Capital Management, a private equity investment firm where he's an operating partner. Oh, really? That certainly is applicable to public health, isn't it? Capital management. Havencrest. Okay. So, of the 8 named by Kennedy so far, perhaps the most experienced one in vaccine policy is Meisner. Dr. Meisner, one of the first ones that I mentioned. Meisner is an expert in pediatric infectious diseases at the Dartmouth-Hitchcock Medical Center. Previously served as a member of both ACIP, that he's now been reappointed to, and the FDA, the FDA's Vaccine Advisory Panel. during his five-year term as an FDA advisor, the committee, Food and Drug Committee, was repeatedly asked to review and vote on the safety and effectiveness of COVID-19 vaccines that were rapidly developed to fight the pandemic. So in September 2021, he joined the majority of panelists who voted against a plan from the Biden administration to offer an extra vaccine dose to all American adults, which I went and got. Fucking right I did. The panel instead recommended that the extra shot should be limited to seniors. Well, that's probably why. And those at higher risk of the disease. However, ultimately, the Food and Drug Administration trashed that recommendation and gave its okay to an extra vaccine dose for all adults. So what are you going to do? Anyway, in addition to serving on government panels, this guy, Dr. Meisner, has helped author policy statements and vaccination schedules for the American Academy of Pediatrics. So it sounds like Dr. Meisner has kind of a checkered history here, medical history. I guess that's the best we're going to get, right? I am leery of people who are partners in a place called Havencrest Capital Management, a private equity investment firm. Now, just for your information and mine, because I didn't know any of this shit, like I've said a couple of times the past week or two, because we are dealing with the dismantling of the U.S. government, you know, the deep state, right? All these terrible things going on in the deep state, because it's all being deconstructed in front of us. We are learning, at least I'm learning, about certain aspects of the deep state that I had no idea existed, but aspects of the deep state that seem to have been directed primarily at keeping me healthy and alive, and you, and the other 350 million of us. Anyway, ACIP members typically serve in staggered four-year terms, although several appointments I've read were delayed during the Biden administration. The voting members are all supposed to have scientific or clinical experience in immunization, except for one so-called consumer representative on this ACIP panel. That person can bring perspective on community and social facets of vaccine programs, which is a good idea. I mean, that person then would probably be charged with letting the other members of the committee understand, or at least be aware of, the movement in this country to destroy human life that comes from the toilet rat down through all of his minions and into the public health arena, you might say, that destroying human life is their sole goal. Well, okay, not their sole goal. The main goal is to make people sick, knowing full well that a certain percentage will die. Does this sound to you like I'm going crazy? No, it shouldn't. If you take a look at the policy programs or perspectives that are being put out there by the toilet rat and his psychotic group of bastards and bitches and scum, if you take a hardcore close look at everything that's being done, everything that's being ordered, all the panels, all the advisory committees that are being dismantled or trashed, all of the science that's being denied, all of the research that's being told, no more research for you. If you take a look at it, the only conclusion you can come to is that the toilet rat and his bitches and bastards want us sick and or dead. And so much for ACIP. Just wanted to let you know. There is something else, though, to consider where it concerns public health. One thing that is rather scary is that the toilet rat, through Worm Brain has delivered another blow to vaccines. The toilet rat canceled a $600 million contract with the drug maker Moderna. A contract, the money was intended to develop a shot, a vaccine for humans against bird flu, avian flu, which is right over the horizon. And the decision by the toilet rat and worm brain also forfeited the U.S. government's right to purchase doses ahead of a pandemic. That's not all. The toilet rat and worm brain also canceled an agreement set up by the Biden administration this past January, to prepare the nation for a potential pandemic of avian flu. And the Moderna contract was built on a previous government investment last year during the Biden administration of $175 million to develop this vaccine. Now, this cancellation of all of it was not entirely unexpected, according to the New York Times a couple of days ago. The Department of Health and Human Services said earlier this year that it was reviewing the contract. And Worm Brain repeatedly questioned the safety of the technology that gave us the COVID-19 vaccine, which is used in Moderna's, COVID vaccine. And which one of the new advisors to the ACIP panel has said that, COVID-19 causes AIDS. This is how fucked, you know how fucked up they are. Andrew Nixon, a Health and Human Services spokesman, said, quote, "After a rigorous review, we concluded that continued investment in Moderna's vaccine was not scientifically or ethically justifiable." End quote. Yeah, they determined that. Now, is Andrew Nixon a doctor or an epidemiologist or a chemist or a researcher? Fuck no. He is somebody who works for Worm Brain, which means he's a red hat wearing asshole. We've concluded after rigorous review. Right. So Moderna, the pharmaceutical company, said, well, we'll go ahead and explore alternatives for developing the vaccine covered by the contract, which the alternatives were to be designed for several types of flu viruses that have the potential to cause a pandemic, not necessarily avian flu. You know, there's one thing that we folks just don't seem to be able to get through our heads after what happened with the so-called Spanish flu, which had nothing to do with Spain. Pandemic of 1918 that killed 20 or 30 million people globally. And then the flu pandemic that we just went through, COVID-19 pandemic, which killed, best guesstimates are upwards of 8 to 10 million people around the planet, over a million of whom were American citizens. We just don't seem to understand or fully accept that the flu is, how to put this gently, the flu is nothing to fuck with. Is that gentle enough? Oh, I had the flu last week. No, you didn't. You had a head cold, a little respiratory thing. If you get the flu, there's a good chance you're going to fucking die, unless you had your flu vaccination, especially if you're over the age of, 60, 70? Flu is nothing to fuck with. Influenza is a killer. It is a massive killer. But according to Worm Brain and the Toilet Rat and some of these other freaks and savages who work for Donald Trump, hey, we don't need that research. No, take vitamin A. Or is it D? Oh, I don't know. Take something. You don't need a vaccine. That's communism. And by the way, let's get rid of fluoridated water, too. We want tooth decay. Jesus Christ. A spokesperson for Moderna defended the mRNA technology that gave us the COVID-19 vaccine and was being used. It's a delivery system. And again, it delivers the properties of the vaccine that destroys the virus through using RNA as opposed to DNA. And very interesting. I was just blown away when I read about it a couple of years ago when this COVID vaccine was first developed. But anyway, Christopher Ridley, a spokesman for Moderna, was defending that technology. He said, quote, "Results during the pandemic speak for themselves, including demonstrated efficacy and a safety profile established in over a billion people nationwide," end quote. Oh, but wait a minute, RFK Jr., worm brain and this toilet rat fucker that squats in the White House, they know more. They know more. Now, here's something that we've been told. I've been reading this for a couple of years. I'm sure you've heard about it, too. There's a type of avian flu. It's referred to as H5N1. And this virus has been circulating around the world for several years now, killing wild birds, killing domestic flocks like chickens or geese or whatever. And it has taught itself, which these viruses do quite well, thank you very much. The virus has taught itself to spread to a range of other species, including bears, yes, bears, and sea mammals, whales, porpoises, or dolphins. And this avian flu, H5N1, arrived in the United States in 2022, and has resulted in the required killing of more than 173 million birds, that would be chickens, turkeys, whatever. And it has frequently, as obvious by the numbers here, devastated commercial poultry flocks. Last year, this is important, last year avian flu also spread to dairy cattle. That means, obviously, the bovines that we use to produce milk. And since last year, it has also struck more than 1,000 herds of dairy cattle in 17 states and sickened 70 people, most of whom are dairy or cattle workers. So what does that tell us, those of us who are not epidemiologists, those of us who are not educated in medical science? Well, it tells us that the virus is slowly but inexorably learning how to go from birds to domestic poultry to domestic cattle to humans. And it's a slow process because the virus wants to make sure that its killing properties are finely tuned by the time it eventually makes a complete jump to us. In January, Louisiana reported the death of an older adult who had interacted with sick birds, backyard birds. That was the first death from avian flu in the United States. Now, and this is not good news, this is just news. So far, the virus does not seem to spread easily among people. So far. But scientists, not people who are going to go to work for, brain rot, for worm brain, but scientists have long worried that the avian flu pandemic is going to come because of the fact that these viruses mutate so rapidly and can acquire new killing abilities. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago, was it? I mean, was it early 2020? Well, I guess it was over 5 years ago. Boy, time just flies when you're fighting all kinds of shit, right? But in early 2020, when news spread that one person had died of this thing, COVID-19, one person, was it in the state of Washington, I believe, one person. And as it stands this moment, there are at least 300 people a day who are still dying in this country of COVID-19. 300 people a week. Last month, an average of about 350 people died each week from COVID, according to data from CDC. Now, that's much lower than when the death rate from COVID was at its peak. Do you remember that? There were like 26,000 people dying every week in 2021. It was horrifying. Nobody knew what the fuck to do. And now here we are, 5 years later, and there's another virus that may be even more devastating than COVID-19, and it's perched over there, just over the horizon, where you and I can't quite see it. It keeps making little forays into our sphere of life, and that got one guy who worked with backyard birds or something, and it's in cattle, and it's in chickens, and bears, and sea mammals. But RFK Jr., worm brain, just doesn't feel that there's any necessity to keep me. I mean, come on. We're taking the contract away from Moderna. We don't fuck all that. So, quick question, Truth Seeker. Will RFK Jr., will worm brain be held responsible when the death rate begins to skyrocket in this country, if that happens? If all of a sudden we don't have COVID-19, even though 300 people a week are still dying from it. But, you know, when avian flu starts driving up the number of dead people, will RFK Jr. take responsibility for his asinine decision to cancel a $175 million contract with Moderna to develop a vaccine? No, of course he won't. He'll tell you to go take vitamin E or Q or XYZ. That's all you have to do. Or do what the toilet rat suggests. Flush your body out with Lysol. That'll be good. Spray your mouth with some kind of, household cleaner spray. That'll get rid of it. Yeah. God damn. We do have a national stockpile of a few hundred thousand doses of an existing H5N1 vaccine. That's an earlier type of the avian flu. But there is a few hundred thousand, maybe a couple of million doses of this vaccine to protect humans. But it's not clear, because it's not being investigated, whether the shots would continue to protect Americans if the virus were to change significantly, which is what the COVID-19 virus did repeatedly. So, according to Department of Health and Human Services, the federal government has three other avian flu contracts, whatever that means. I'm sure that they're going to be canceled too. Many scientists now regard these vaccines that are built on this mRNA system, which can be quickly altered to match the newest version of viruses, that this new vaccine delivery system is the best option for protecting Americans if another fast-moving outbreak occurs, which is what happened with COVID. According to the director of the Pandemic Center at the Brown University School of Public Health. No, not the government. No. But according to Jennifer Nuzzo, who's the director, she said, quote, when the next flu pandemic occurs, notice that first phrase, when the next flu pandemic occurs, there's not going to be enough vaccine for everyone who wants it unless we invest to broaden the types of flu vaccines being made and the number of companies that make them. We shouldn't let politically motivated attempts to unfairly brand mRNA vaccines as dangerous stand in the way of ensuring everyone who wants a pandemic vaccine can get one. End quote. Now, of course, worm brain, well, he's got some bird flu ideas that are outside the lines, you might say. He's suggesting that instead of culling birds when the infection is discovered, farmers should let the virus run through the flocks. And then, he says, farmers should identify birds that survive the illness and study them to identify sources of their immunity. Okay. Many scientists assert that that would be inhumane and dangerous. Ah, well, you know, this is worm brain. I mean, seriously, why in the fuck is somebody, the head of the Department of Public Health in this country, Health and Human Services, who is an admitted heroin addict, an admitted cocaine addict, and an admitted person who had fucking worms in his brains eating away? What in the actual fuck is that about? Jesus Christ. An infectious disease physician and senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security said this, quote, pandemic preparedness is about being proactive, fast, and adaptable. The mRNA vaccine platform is all that. He added, the rationale given is likely fabricated and more of a function of RFK Jr.'s assault on vaccines, the value of which he evades. Canceling the contract with Moderna makes the world less safe. End quote. Yeah, well, I can add to that. No shit. That's what this is about. That's what your humble and obedient servant here has been screeching and screaming about. Oh, well. Oh, well. All right, true seekers, I will see you tomorrow, I hope. Please stay safe. Take care. Keep it lit, okay? I'm Mike Malloy.